In our last class, we were kind of talking about, we stopped in 2 Kings, or just finished up in there. We saw this idea of where what Naaman was supposed to be doing. One of the verses said that he was furious when it was describing, you know, what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to go get 7 times. And he had his own ideas, I guess you could say, about that, or questions or complaints, and instead of just obeying. And, you know, then he even kind of reasoned as far as, well, I guess you could say, this doesn't make sense. Are not the other two rivers, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And so we have to trust in what we're told, as far as, you know, on the things that we must do. Like in this case, he was told to do this in order to be clean. And there's a part I'm looking for. Let me see here. And think about what is said in verse 13, 2 Kings 5:13. Said, then his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? So, you know, when you think about this, think about what was being offered. And, you know, in order to be clean, you know, he's like, well, wouldn't you do this great thing if that's what you needed to do in order to be clean? And then he goes on to say, how much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So basically he's saying, it's very simple. Just go do what was said, and then, you know, you'll be clean. But, which he eventually does do that, but working up to that, you know, we see this idea of how, you know, he was questioning these things. That's something for us to think about. You know, people argue against the need of baptism. Couldn't we think of that in a similar manner? You know, they argue about the need of that. We think about this example, and, you know, when he heard that he had to be washed the 7 times, just like we saw, the verse 11 said that he was furious, and he said, you know, he will surely come out to me and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the place of, or over the place, and cure the leper. So he had a certain idea of maybe how this should take place, or why can't it be done this way. But the fact of the matter is, there was a specific way that he was supposed to do this. And until he did what was specified, he wasn't cured. And then in the same manner, you know, like we just said, he kind of had a different idea as far as, well, why this river? You know, why can't it be these other ones? These are greater. He wasn't focusing on, you know, we have to obey what we're told. So that's something we have to remember when we're talking to other people. Examples like this might be good for us to use. You know, because they're going to question things. They might question, well, why this and why that? And the fact of the matter is, we're told what we should do. And that's what we need to trust in. Yes, sir.
Those two words can really trip us up a lot of times. You know, I mean, it's true, it can be applicable to people who are tragic, but it can be applicable to us too. You know, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, like a guy walking down the street stumbling and all, you know, when I thought he was drunk. Hey, he didn't have his medication, you know. I mean, there can be a lot of different reasons why he was stumbling. You
know? Okay.
People, it's an inhabit. We ourselves can judge something, some situation, and be wrong because why? Because I thought.
Okay.
So that, in this case, it's to God do what he's going to do.
Right, in this case, we're talking about something that was, you know, he was told that he must do, and you know, it's what we're commanded to do. Yes, ma'am.
I think it also goes back to just respect for authority.
Okay.
And then God's authority, and God's authority, and even civilian authority, whether it's teachers, police, whatever, you know, government authority. It's that respect. You may not understand the rules, you may not like the rules or what's told to you or what's indicated to you as far as this is what you need to do. But respecting the position or the person who is giving you and telling you what to do, you do.
Good point.
In this case, it's God.
Right. Good point. Yeah, respect for the authority and especially here, because we know when God specifies that he expects that to be followed, because when he's specific, if that's not followed, then you're not going to get the outcome or the blessing of what he was specifying.
You know, people that go along with, well, why do you have to follow just this? They say that you're limiting God's love and grace. I've actually been accused of that. You know, very narrow, and surely only God's love and grace won't be, you know, just held within those limits. And it comes down to what Dawn was saying. It's not because of the way, it's because it's the way God said it.
Right.
And so, they think that God's grace is just out there and it just pours out on everybody and you limit the approach to that if you give them all these rules.
But he expects obedience, doesn't he? We have examples of that. He does definitely expect obedience. Let's look over. We're going to Acts 23. Acts 23:1. It says, Paul, looking intently at the council, said, Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. And then we go over a couple of chapters and to 26, verse 9. Said, So then I thought to myself I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the reason I put this here is for us to be mindful. Sometimes we ourselves and those we talk to, it's something that anybody can run into. We might think, you know, like we were saying, might think so. We might think this was something right. But what we need to do is we better search the scripture, especially if someone's trying to point us to something that tells us different than what our think-sos are, then we need to have the right heart and mindset. We need to think of that for ourselves and think of that when we're speaking to other people, help them to understand that. Paul thought what he was doing when he was persecuting the church was what was right. He later on found out that that was incorrect, and he corrected his life, and he's serving God, and you know, we have so many examples out of the books that he had written, and his his attitude and his faith that he showed, because we know that. Because some of the books were even written from prison, and we see his attitude. It wasn't, well, look at poor me and all this. No, he was encouraging these other churches and stuff, encouraging and strengthening them. So, but we've got to be mindful of, be careful of our, I don't know another way. I got to borrow Steve's word, think so's. I like that word, because that's what it is, you know. Just what people think is okay. It might not be based on anything. It can be based on just what they were brought up. And again, as we talked about in other classes, what you're brought up in can or can't be okay. It depends on where it comes from, you know. Where did they get it? So we've got to be careful of that. We want to make sure what we're teaching is not just think so's. Because remember, in order to be able to help these people, we've got to be teaching the truth. Because that's what we're trying to appeal to, trying to have them to come to the understanding of. And you know what, I think about, because I started thinking about, especially with what Linda was saying, you know, when people, they think they're doing something right, and sometimes they might even have the right, maybe you could say motive. I think of the art when they put it on the wheels. And, you know, nothing in there indicated that what was being done, the attitude of the people, Dave and them, it didn't indicate that they were purposely doing something against God, although they were doing something against what he had commanded. And so you've got this, hey, I've got this idea. You know, it's, well, let's use today's terms. It's more ergonomical if we put this thing on wheels or something. You know, it's going to be less stress or something. But what they did was they veered from God's ways. You know, it was instructed that it was supposed to be the poles through the rings and carried, you know. And we even see the result of that it was very important that you follow God's ways, because it got to a point where the cart was tilting and everything. And now you wouldn't want that to tump over, would you? You know, so as he's reaching out, he's gonna keep this from happening. And he touched the ark, and he was struck dead. So, you know, it teaches us something. You know, even we've got to be careful, especially, you know, when it comes to things that are specific, we got to we must follow God's way. And so we need to search and try to better understand what that way is.
Even small stuff.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You might think it's a smile. It's just a little thing. It's not a whole lot. It's not like a big thing.
But it's not our rules that we're breaking when we're not. That's right. It's his. So.
It's just small.
Yeah. Yeah. We, to us, it might be small. It's not small to him. Yes,
you said,
ma'am.
A couple of times something that I was thinking way back from Naaman, mm-hmm. and that is attitude. Mm-hmm. It's so often comes down to attitude and what our attitude is, what the attitude of those we're trying to teach is. Mm-hmm. You know, Naaman had kind of a bad attitude. You know, he was a little arrogant and thinking, well, he was all that, and that the prophet should have come to him, not sent a messenger. You know, whereas Paul's attitude was a right attitude, in that he was open to listening and whatnot, even though he was still wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that I have to guard in myself. You know, I might not have a bad attitude, but I can still have a wrong attitude. You know, and so we just have to make sure that our attitude is the right attitude too, and
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's, you know, when you look at that, just so many things kind of, to us as a reader, so many things jump out, you know, because of what he, his comments and things like that. But think about it, as ourself, we've got to remember too, some of the things that our reaction to things or the way we say certain things, we need to think of self too, because sometimes we could fall guilty of doing those type of things.
Of course, Saul really didn't see until he was blind.
Yeah. Had some new vision there.
Yeah, different kind of vision.
So we see that we must search the Scriptures and see what God says is right. We need to be careful of what we believe. What we're believing and what we're teaching, is it from man or is it from God?
I think also nowadays too, people are so dependent on their feelings. You know, they believe that the Holy Spirit is telling them, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and regardless of what the Bible says, well, I feel in my heart that this is right, you know, and that's tough to get around too, because people are so dependent on that. And if it feels right to them, then it has to be from God and the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's like hard to contend with that, to change their attitude about that.
That's a good point, but that's exactly what Paul was stating there, wasn't it? Because he felt that he was right, but then he realized he was wrong. So, yeah, good point.
He was killing all those people and persecuting all the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He truly felt that he was doing right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His motive was right.
But he did, because of the love of the truth that he later writes about in 2 Thessalonians, when he warns about people who the devil will send them deluding because they do not love the truth. But it says, you know, with all the deception of wickedness are those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved.
Which, where at 2 Thessalonians?
2 Thessalonians
2.10. 2.10, okay.
And so, you know, going back to the attitude, and someone who has a good heart, who wants truth, will accept the word of God as from God.
Yes, ma'am.
And not, you know, what they want.
Right.
You know, as you do.
Right, it's more than just feelings, you know. Something's going to the truth will prick their heart. Now we know, well, like we said, we need to make sure that it's from God and not from man. And you don't have to turn there; you're familiar with it. But Proverbs 14:12, you know, warns us. There's a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. So, again, there's a warning, you know, something might seem right, but just because it seems right in itself doesn't mean that it is. So we've got to be mindful of that. So we need to try to help people in their understanding. We have to help them understand that baptism doesn't nullify grace, because that's, you know, kind of what we're looking at this point with baptism. It, you know, it doesn't nullify grace, but that's kind of what a lot of people's point is when they're trying to go against it.
They say Proverbs.
I'm sorry.
That Proverbs.
It's on your lesson. It should be Proverbs 14:12. Did I put it on there?
Yes.
Okay.
I missed it.
Okay. Oh, no problem. Well, I was making sure because I could have easily not put it on there.
It's on the second.
Okay.
You know, right in the very next proverb in Proverbs 25, no, excuse me, Psalms 25, 9 and 12. The Lord leads the humble and those who fear Him in the way that they should go. You know, and that gets back to attitude of heart in accepting what the Lord said and fearing His commandments. He will lead you in the way that you should go. But it goes back to, are you searching? Are you seeking truth?
Right. What are you trying to... Right. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. You know, when we think about Think about Noah. Genesis 6:8 tells us that he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then look over at Hebrews 11. Somebody moved it. There it is. Let's see, which verse am I looking for? Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. So we see this idea of this was grace, but there was something that he did, you know. So that's something for us to remember. And also what we looked at in Acts 2 and also in Acts 16, when we were looking at, you know, the question, what shall we do? What must I do to be saved? Or what shall we do? You know, Acts 16 said that believe in the Lord, and Acts 2 said repent and be baptized. So, and again, you know, most would agree that we've got to believe, and most would agree that we have to repent. And so we recognize, yes, these are things that we must do. But what else did they say we must do? You know, because in Acts, make sure I'm not going to get this backwards. Let me think. Yeah, it's 16 where it talked about believe, and then a couple verses back down it said having believed. But sandwiched in there, we saw the idea of they spoke the word, or he was taught, and then baptized. So we see within that, although it was said believe, it was baptism was part of that. And in Acts 2, we saw the idea. It says repent and be baptized. So we see that example, to repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So we see that baptism is essential, and it's for the forgiveness of sins. Now, you might have people that so far, maybe they agree with you as far as baptism. You're going to have some, they might agree that it needs to be done. They might not agree that it's for the forgiveness of sins. You know, they might believe that it's done just to show that you are a Christian. And remember the example that we have of Paul and his conversion. Now, when we look at this examples we have of his conversion, there's three different places where we can see it. But in chapter 9 of Acts, because there's parts of it in 9:26 and also 22. I'm sorry. Oh, I was saying chapters. Sorry. Yeah, chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. But in 9:9. Nine describes that it said that for 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank, and then